We bring you this show that aired in the past and you may have missed it. Welcome to the best of Register Radio.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Dan Burke talks with Jennifer Fulweiler about her new book, Something Other Than God. It is fascinating. Also, Jeanette DeMello will discuss the documentary Messenger of Truth with producer Gary Chartrand. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register, and Dan Burke, executive director of the Register. Thanks again for joining us. Our first guest, Jennifer Fulweiler, is a programmer turned writer who chronicles her experiences of faith and family life on her popular blog, conversiondiary.com. We can definitely recommend that. Her articles have also appeared in the National Catholic Register, also our Sunday Visitor, Envoy, and National Review Online. Jennifer has been a guest on Fox and Friends, Life on the Rock, and The Choices We Face. She's now producing a reality show called, and I love this title, Minor Revisions. She and her husband, Joe, live in Austin, Texas, with their six young children. Jen, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Glad you are here.
Jennifer, it's great to have you with us. Your book has been a long time in the making. You've had some struggles and challenges getting this out, but we're so grateful it is out. I mean, the reviews that I've seen are just over the top. All of the video, the vlogging that folks are doing to promote the book. I really think that it's a very, very special work, a unique work, a real gift to our time, to Catholics of our time, and those who are struggling with this rise of atheism and the challenges to our faith. What I wanted to do on today's show is talk a little bit from your perspective and help our listeners understand how to deal with these challenges. You went from being an atheist to becoming a Catholic. You know the journey. You know the struggle more than most of us can understand. So why don't we start just a bit with what happened early on that began to trigger your ideas that maybe this thing is true, maybe I should listen, maybe I should lean in?
Yeah, great question, Dan. You know, every conversion starts with relationship, really, if you look back at any conversion story. And so it's not surprising that my own conversion story, I think, really began when I met my husband. He's a really smart guy. He went to Yale and Columbia and Stanford. And I just assumed he was an atheist, actually. Even when we first started dating, I assumed he was an atheist. And a couple months later, it came out that not only did he believe in God, but he believed in that Jesus guy, too. It seemed so crazy. And he never went to church. He didn't pray or anything. But just the fact that he believed piqued my interest, because it showed me, you know, I'd fallen into that stereotype that atheism is for the intelligentsia. You know, smart people are atheists and Christians are just all unreasonable. And it shattered that stereotype to meet someone who was reasonable and intelligent and yet still believed.
Now, Joe didn't necessarily have, as you say, he didn't go to church, he didn't pray. He just, did he acknowledge the historical Jesus? Or did he have this sense that you actually had to have a relationship with God, and you could have a relationship with God?
You know, he didn't have much of a relationship with Jesus. What happened that I go into in the book is that he was baptized when he was 15 in a full dunk Baptist ceremony. And he always said, I encountered something real or someone real in that moment. And he even said, you know, he said, I don't know who Jesus is exactly. I don't know what we're supposed to do. I don't know if it matters if we go to church, but I will never deny that I encountered a personal, real force in that moment.
In that baptism. Amazing. Yeah.
I want to come back and pick up on something that you said a moment earlier about atheism being for the smart people. As I'm hearing more and more about the new atheism, as it's been called, that theme seems to come up more and more. Is this kind of a pride thing?
You nailed it. And you know what it is? I mean, honestly, marketers need to study Richard Dawkins and, you know, the late Christopher Hitchens and the rest of the new atheists. I have never seen better marketing and branding. It's a branding thing that they have branded atheism as being for smart people. And it is shocking how well they've done it. And so now in our culture, I see this a lot with young people, that I think that they are drawn to atheism because it's almost like, you know, if you wear the brand sweatshirt that's a popular brand, it's
sure,
like you're cool. They want to be branded with that intelligentsia.
Mm. Wow.
It's fascinating. Well, so your encounter with Joe and his affirmation that something real happened at his baptism made you think, and he's, of course, very smart, made you think, well, maybe this is a possibility. What might have been the next major light or glimmer of God peeking into your soul?
Yeah, it was absolutely the birth of my first child, because I was always taught, you know, I wasn't raised to be an atheist per se, as much as I was raised to seek truth and question assumptions and think through what I believed. And so when my son was born, I really thought through these atheistic beliefs for the first time in years, really. And I came to think that the love that I felt for my son and just his life and his value, I believed that all of these things came from something external mm-hmm. to just, you know, the chemical reactions in yeah. our brain. And that was really the first moment when I looked at that little baby that I thought, I don't think I'm an atheist anymore. I didn't know what I was, but I knew that I was not an atheist.
Well, first step on the journey.
Right.
Well, that act of creating a child, if you will, is the only act that I'm aware of where we actually cooperate with God in yes. bringing about a new life. And so we call babies miracles.
Right.
They actually are miracles.
Right.
Yeah. It's divine, human, together, creating something that wouldn't come about otherwise. And so it makes complete sense. Well, let's shift a bit and talk about a lot of our listeners are going to be folks who have kids that have fallen away. They have family members who are atheists who may have one time been close to the faith, or just folks that, you know, more and more in our culture, people who have had no exposure to faith. Why don't you tell us, what are some of the key things you want to avoid right. when trying to reach out to folks like this?
What a great question. I would say the biggest thing to avoid is to think that it is all about data and arguments. And it's easy to fall into, because the atheist will tell you that we believe what we believe only based on reason and science and logic. But that's not true. And if you keep staying on that level and forget to show them Christ mm-hmm. as much as you're offering proofs and evidence for Christ's existence, you're going to keep missing each other. Because I would have never admitted this when I was an atheist, but I was so hungry to be accepted and to be mm-hmm. loved. And none of my Christian friends would have ever guessed that about me, because I gave off a very hostile vibe. Uh-huh. So I think the number one thing is, never ever forget how much your atheist loved ones and coworkers and friends, how much they yearn to be loved and accepted and would be receptive to experiencing the love of Christ through you.
That's a powerful insight. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're talking with Jennifer Fulweiler about an extraordinary book, and I really do mean extraordinary, entitled Something Other Than God, How I Passionately Sought Happiness and Accidentally Found It. It's about Jennifer's journey from atheism to Catholicism. Now, you said something I think it's so important. I go around and speak every month around the country on my own conversion. And the one thing I tell the audience is that love builds a bridge over which truth can pass. And so these are usually church folks who have an interest in helping people come to know Christ. And I emphasize that over and over. If you don't love people in an extraordinary way, not just opening the door, using your blinker on the freeway, or being generally courteous. I mean, I think it really is a deliberate love, right. a love that seeks to really show the other person in a tangible way that you matter to right. me, that you're important to me. Did that happen to you in your conversion process in such a way that was striking to you?
Yes, it did. And, you know, not at first, because this is something that people with fallen away loved ones should keep in mind. At first, I was so secretive about my conversion that nobody knew. Nobody knew that anything was going on. And I had distanced myself from Christians. I didn't even know any Christians because I was such a loudmouth atheist that I scared them all away. I know, I did. I really did. But it's interestingly, in a very modern turn of events, the first time I saw, I really got to know Christians and felt this real love from them was when I started a blog, because I thought, maybe I could find some Christians on the internet. And so I started a blog, and I got this great group of readers. And interestingly, I found my readers. I recruited them from an atheist site where I handpicked people who could demolish atheist arguments, and they were all Catholic. I did not intend to pick Catholics. I only picked the people who could argue against atheism yeah. the best. So I end up...
You didn't know they were Catholic.
I didn't know they were. No. And so I was like, what is it about these Catholics that they can just nail atheism? I mean, they kill it. And so anyway, I ended up accidentally with a group of all Catholic readers to my blog. And I just saw how much they were willing to help me. You know, I mentioned that I had a bad experience at a mass, and I had five people emailing me to say, just give me your zip code. We'll help you. You know, we'll set you up with people we know. We'll help you, you know, find some connections. And I thought, wow, you know, these are busy people who are taking time out of their day to help me. And it was very touching.
So the number one thing you'd recommend, the most important thing, is that you love.
Yes.
You and you get past the facade. I don't know. You sound a little bit like we may have had some similarities. I would argue with people in an aggressive way, and I actually offended a priest. And you know, but I said to him, you know, you don't understand. I'm not. I want you to tell me what you believe and argue with me, but I need you to work with me. I really want to believe.
Right.
And so I'm arguing with you not because I don't like you, not because I'm mad at you. But I want to believe.
Right.
Was that the case in your heart? Did you want to believe? Or how did that work out with you?
Yeah, that there was definitely, I did reach a point where I wanted to believe, but I wasn't sure if it was checking out. But at first, I don't know if I did want to believe, because the prospect was scary. Because, you know, coming from a purely atheistic background, all the while in the back of my mind was this voice saying, what if you're making it up? And I just thought, what if I turn my life over, you know, to this God, and it turns out I'm wrong, you know? So the scientific atheism, where you only believe things that you can measure and sense, there's a comfort in that, because you're very rooted in, you know, like I know this table exists because I can see it. So I felt very much like I was becoming unmoored from anything I ever knew when I realized that I was probably going to become a believer.
Stepping out of the boat.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it felt.
So we've got to love folks in. What would be another key element of advice to helping those who are atheist agnostic to explore the faith?
This sounds counterintuitive, but I think it's really important. I think it's important that we let go of the goal of converting them. And now, obviously, the goal, you know, we should always, that should be our kind of primary goal when we interact with people. But I recommend not letting it be on the surface, because here's what happens. And I've seen this in my own life as well as with other people, is you start to see, let's say you have your atheist nephew. If you start to become kind of fixated on converting him and bringing him home, that can lead us to objectify our loved ones. And so instead of seeing him as, you know, my sweet nephew who is a great artist and a talented young man, you begin to see him as that stubborn kid who won't convert. Uh-huh. And so I think that we need, what we should be asking ourselves with these people is more turning it back on us, saying, did I show Christ to my nephew when I was at dinner with him, rather than did he listen to what I said about why he should go to Mass?
Yeah.
So I think we need to do much more self-examination. And in fact, you know, your book about the spiritual life, I mean, is great for that kind of thing. We need to focus on making ourselves saints more than we overtly say, how do I convert these stubborn people?
You know? Well, Jennifer, I feel like we need an hour and we're already out of time.
I know.
Your book, Something Other Than God, is an extraordinary read. It's an important work for our time. It can be found at EWTN Religious Catalog. Our listeners can call 800-854-6316. That's 1-800-854-6316 to purchase it. But where else can they learn about what you're doing and the book and your blog?
Yep, lots of updates at conversiondiary.com.
Conversiondiary.com. Thanks again for being with
us. Thanks
so much.
Thanks
for all you're doing.
When we return, we'll talk with the producer of a film dealing with a 20th century martyr for the faith. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
I'm Brian Patrick, and here at EWTN News Nightly, we're very much aware our world is changing rapidly. The news can be so troubling, but it helps to get it in the context of Catholic teaching. That's why I encourage you to watch EWTN News Nightly and to subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register. Always faithful, in-depth coverage of crucial issues like religious freedom, the sanctity of all human life, traditional marriage, and Pope Francis, his travels, his powerful homilies, and great features like one of my favorites on St. Joseph, provider and protector. Subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register and watch EWTN News Nightly, the perfect combination for faithful Catholics who want the news, who want the truth.
For a free 3-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 3 free issues.
We're bringing you this show that aired in the past and you may have missed it. Welcome back to the Best of Register Radio.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. With Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Gary Chartrand, is a co-executive producer, along with his wife Nancy, of Messenger of the Truth. This is a 90-minute awesome feature documentary on a Polish martyr and 21st century hero of human rights, Blessed Father Jerzy Papieżko. He and Nancy were motivated to produce this documentary following a memorable 2010 trip to Poland with their parish priest, where they learned the story of Father Jerzy, who was martyred in 1984. Gary connected with filmmaker Paul Hensler. He owned the rights to the book The Priest and the Policeman, The Courageous Life and Cruel Murder of Father Jerzy Papieżko. And together they produced the documentary Messenger of the Truth, based on the book. Gary, first of all, welcome to Register Radio. I've got to tell you, we had the opportunity to watch this documentary. It is fantastic.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate your comments. It is a very powerful movie.
You know, so powerful that Cardinal Timothy Dolan called it a must-see documentary for anyone who is a lover of freedom and a defender of truth. Those are some powerful words from Cardinal Dolan. And this is all about the messenger here, who is Father Jerzy Papieżko. He was a young man when he died, yet he is credited with helping to change a nation. Tell us about the life of this man.
Yeah, well, Father Jerzy Papieżko was 37 years old when he was murdered by the secret police of the Communist Party in 1984, October 19th. And people will remember the early 80s was the movement of the Solidarity Movement. We all remember Lech Wałęsa, right, who was the first president of Poland, but he led the Solidarity Movement, which started in 1980. Pope John Paul came back to Poland in 1979 after he was elected pope, and he spoke to about a million Poles in Victory Square in Warsaw and basically said, hey, you need to wake up. You're living in a corrupt system here. You should be free. Man should be free. And I will support you, but you have to do it yourselves. And Father Jerzy was in the audience that day. He was inspired from what the Pope had to say. And the people listened to the Pope, and they went on strike in Gdansk. And then later, a strike in the steel mill in Huta Wyżara, which is right outside of Warsaw. And they locked themselves in, 95% Catholic. Sunday came. They didn't have a priest to say Mass because they were locked in the steel fortress of the Communist Party. And they asked for a priest to say Mass, and the primate snuck Father Jerzy Papieżko in to say Mass. And that's how he started his ministry, connecting with the steel worker and the average person.
His ministry just exploded from there. I mean, there were times where he had almost a million people right outside of his parish. They would fill in the streets, and what they were doing was quite dangerous, correct?
Very dangerous. You know, 1980, they went on strike. Was the beginning of the Solidarity Movement, and they started to get some concessions from the regime. And then in 1981, I think the regime felt like they were getting too much freedom, and so they declared martial law. Mm-hmm. And so the tanks rolled out. They arrested a bunch of Solidarity leaders. They killed some people that were protesting. And they clamped down on the country. In fact, they cut off all communication outside the country and cut off all ties with the West. And that's when Father Jerzy's real ministry began. He kept speaking the truth. It's really a truth-to-power story. And he was asked to say a monthly Mass for the fatherland of Poland, which was for the freedom of Poland. And that people would come from all over Poland to hear him. they would actually record his sermons and usher them out of the country to Radio Free Europe and then pipe the sermons back into Poland and to other countries in Eastern Europe. So he was not only popular in Poland, but all of Eastern Europe as well.
Right. Now, I wanted to go back to what you mentioned, St. John Paul, then Pope, and a Pole. So certainly he had a great impact on these people. And his words, if I remember correctly, were said at a Pentecost Mass, just sending the Holy Spirit to be with his people. Now, tell us how much John Paul II inspired the people of Poland and what impact this really had on them.
When he came back, Pope John Paul came back to Poland in 1979, and it was actually said in the movie, and we have a lot of stock footage, by the way, of that time, so it shows mm-hmm. you exactly what happened, not only when the Pope came back, but also when martial law was declared later on. But one of the people that was interviewed said, when Pope John Paul came back, and we went to Victory Square, it was the first time since 1945 that we didn't feel that we were under communism. Mm. So they listened to the Pope, and they listened to his words about, you know, that people should be free, that human rights are important, human dignity is important, and that justice should come through freedom, and they inspired the people. But like in anything, I think you need both what I would call the grass tips and the grassroots. Right. And the Pope was the grass tips. He was supporting them. Obviously, he went back to Rome, but Father Jerzy picked up the mantle on the grassroots piece and connected with the average person and inspired them through his sermons about how they should unify, they should be nonviolent, and that they should keep their dignity and continue on their path to freedom.
This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Gary Chartrand, executive producer of the Messenger of the Truth documentary. Now, Gary, how is it that you came to, first of all, say all of these Polish words very, very well? And secondly, what motivated you to create this documentary about Father Jerzy?
Well, my wife is Polish. Okay. She's the co-producer. And we went on a trip in 2010. It was a pilgrimage back to Poland to see all the holy sites. In fact, where St. Pope John Paul was born, where he was ordained, we went to Divine Mercy, we went to Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we ended up in Warsaw at St. Stanislaus Kostka's church, where Father Jerzy is buried. We celebrated Mass there that day and learned about the priest. There was a museum underneath the church about his life. Mm-hmm. And that's when we walked through and realized what strong faith and conviction he had, and most importantly, what courage he had. And that's really when the Holy Spirit hit both my wife and myself to say to my priest friend who was with me, Father Remick, mm-hmm. who's from Poland, how come we don't know about this man? And his comment was, well, we know he's very popular in Poland. Right. And I said to him, then we ought to make a movie and explain what this man meant for not only just Poland, which Poland got their freedom 6 months before the wall came down, but then all of Eastern Europe when the wall came down being liberated into freedom. Right. And so I came home, and about a year went by, and I had no idea how I was going to make a movie, and I quite frankly mm-hmm. kind of forgot about it. And my priest friend, Father Remick, called me and said, you're not going to believe this, but there are two people in Jacksonville, Florida, where I live, that were a mile from my office that had bought the rights to the book, The Priest and the Policeman, in order to make a documentary, and they were looking for financing to get it done.
Wow.
And I thought that was a real God sign that I came back from Poland, and a mile from my office there are two people that are ready to make this movie.
Sure, absolutely, making the connections. And
sure.
The Priest and the Policeman, of course, is a movie about the life of Father Jerzy. Now, I wanted to ask you, how has this movie, creating this movie, studying his life, actually impacted your faith?
Well, pretty substantially. For the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, I've lived this along with my wife, and I've listened to the words of Father Jerzy. In fact, we will be having a book coming out soon called Sermons, and it's all his sermons that have mm-hmm. been archived, and we're going to publish them in a book.
Great.
And, you know, I think about some of the things, and I'm sure your listeners will think about this as well, about some of the things that we're challenged with today in terms of religious liberty
right.
In our country right now. And one of the things that really struck me, it's a quote that Father Jerzy said in one of his sermons, and if you'll let me,
please.
It's short. It says here that you have to live in truth to remain spiritually free. Our slavery stems from our surrender to the rule of the lie, our failure to unmask the lie and to protest against it. Instead of correcting the lie, we keep silent or pretend to believe it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Telling the truth with courage is a way leading directly to freedom. And to do this, we must overcome fear. This fear makes us act against our conscience, and it is by means of conscience that we measure truth.
It's very
pretty
powerful.
Powerful statement. And if you think about some of the challenges that we have today in our own country about religious liberty,
right,
and how it's being threatened,
right,
too many of us, I think, sort of accept the lie, if you will.
Right. You know, one of the things that really struck me was that he didn't know how this was going to end. I mean, obviously, the Solidarity Movement was victorious, and they overcame this struggle, and in great part through people like Father Jerzy. However, he didn't know that was how it was going to end, and he persevered, and he really encouraged these people to persevere and to be messengers of the truth, and that really inspired me. Now, I want to let the audience know, we just have a minute left, I want to let them know how they can watch this movie.
Right. We have signed a 2-year agreement with American Public Television, so it'll be shown on public television stations around the country.
Great.
You can go to the website, messengeroftheTruth.com, as we get the approval from the stations with a date and a time we post it. Right.
Great.
Now it's actually being shown in Denver tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Excellent.
And the next one is being shown in New York City on June 18th.
Okay.
In addition to that, if you don't want to wait for the movie to come to your PBS station, we have the DVD for sale on the website.
Okay.
messengeroftheTruth.com. Click on the DVD and it'll take you to the e-store.
Well, great. I've seen it, but I'm in Denver, and on May 2nd, I'll watch it. I'll let all my friends know to watch it, and I'll certainly include in the show notes on the website on ncregister.com where people can hear you and see you on the website there. So, Gary, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to promote this movie. It's a great film, and it really does tell a powerful story that we need to hear today.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Bye-bye.
And don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.